So today we are launching a new message series called Almost True. And it's a message series that was first preached at Life Church. But as I was preparing for this fall, it aligned perfectly with what I was leaning into, what God was working in my spirit and what he was doing in me. And I was given permission to take it, to adapt it, to make it fit our context. Because it's just been on my heart more and more that there are so many beliefs in our culture today that sound true and feel true, and they're almost true, but they're not true. So I want to warn you that if you don't like this message today, because it might be a toe stepper, well, it's probably for you. If you find yourself wanting to push back against some of it, it's probably for you. So today I want to play a game to help us get started. So we're going to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. So I'm going to lie to you, but it's for the glory of God. So for a sermon illustration, that's okay. But how it works, if you haven't played, I'm going to tell you three statements. Two of them are true, one is not, and then you get to figure out which one is not. So statement number one is, I used to collect My Little Ponies when I was little. Second statement, I used to sing every Christmas on cable television, and I order a Big Mac meal every time I don't preach my best. So, who thinks it's number one, collect My Little Ponies? Who thinks that's the lie? Okay, yeah, I collected My Little Ponies, but I always like to say my brother had the stable. I used to sing every Christmas on cable television. Who thinks that's the lie? All right, so this one actually is true. Our Christmas musicals at Stony Creek Alliance were televised on Cable 14, the local news station. So I always felt like a pretty big deal. I order a Big Mac meal every time I don't preach my best. That's the lie. I don't usually eat McDonald's on Sundays, but I also just order Big Macs all the time. But my in-laws have me over for family dinner. So, truth or lies? Truth or lies? It raises the question of what is truth? So it's the same question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus in the New Testament when the Jewish leaders were plotting to kill Jesus. Pilate was questioning the motives of Jesus, and he asks him, what is truth? And Jesus says in John 18:37, he says, the reason I was born and came into the world, let's all say it together, is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth, Jesus says, listens to me. And then Pilate asks back, well, what is truth? This is one of the most important questions that we need to answer, especially in our culture today. What is truth? So we're going to build a working definition for this message series on truth. And this is accepted broadly that truth is absolute, constant, and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. This is our working definition. Truth is absolute, it's constant, it's true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Yet many people, especially today, confuse truth with perspective. And there's a difference between the two. Truth is absolute, but our perspectives are different. They vary. And the challenge is if we confuse our truth or truth with our perspective, well, then we may start to think that truth is subjective. We may believe that truth changes over time. And if we believe that, well, then we might start to believe, well, what's true for you isn't true for me. And you've probably heard that. And therefore, since your truth isn't unique or is unique to you, then you get to determine what's truth. So the logic goes, if something sounds right to you, feels right to you, it must be true. And if you believe that your truth is unique to you, then as it's properly said today, speak your truth, live your truth, own your truth. Your truth is your power. Your truth is who you really are. But I want to raise the question, what if your truth is a trap? What if your truth is not really the truth and therefore your truth is a trap? It's so easy when we want to believe that our perspective is the same as truth. So we say, well, this feels right. This seems right to me. But there's a verse in scripture from Proverbs 14:12 that says, there is a path before each person that seems right. It just feels right, but it ends in death. In other words, just because something seems right doesn't make it true. So I hope we're all okay because we're just warming up here. So buckle up because here are two truths about truth. Number one, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Can we agree on that? Just because you believe something doesn't make it true? For example, for centuries, everyone believed that the earth was flat. And then we discovered that it's actually round. Until recently, some people have discovered, hey, I think it's flat again. And if you believe that, be careful not to fall off the edge. And you can go debate that on your own time. But just because you believe something, whatever it is, doesn't make it true. Or imagine this. Imagine you're going to take a flight. You're flying to the Caribbean. And I'm at the airport greeting you on board. And you're like, hey, Kev, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I feel like a pilot today. I'm going to take you to the Caribbean. And you're thinking, have you flown a plane before? Nope. But I feel like a pilot. And if I feel like a pilot, I must be a pilot. That's my truth. Are you going to actually fly with me? Hopefully not. Like, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, please don't. Because I'm not trained. Just because you believe something is true doesn't make it true. Now, I want the pastoral side of me to come out for a moment, and I want to say this clearly, that what you have is a perspective on truth. And your perspective matters. What you've experienced, what you've gone through, it matters. It's real. It's valid. Everyone has a story, and your story is important, and you should be able to tell your story. But what you experience and what you feel doesn't equate to absolute truth. There's a difference. And you may say, well, I thought I was supposed to follow my heart. I mean, everybody says it. I thought I was supposed to just do what my heart tells me. My heart will lead me to truth. Do whatever your heart says. But scripture actually says in Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most wicked, deceitful of all things, and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? People say we have a good heart, but without God, our heart is wicked. I remember growing up listening to Our Lady Peace. I don't know if anyone remembers it. I'm dating myself a bit, but they had a song called Innocent. And I liked the song, and it's We're All Innocent, We're All Innocent. And I just remember really wrestling in my spirit with that because I'm like, we're not innocent. We're not. And that's why we need a redeemer and a savior. That's why we need Jesus. People say we have a good heart, but without God, our heart is wicked. We need a redeemed heart because our heart will lead us astray over and over and over. Whenever you let your feelings determine your truth, you're in trouble. Why? Because our feelings lie. If someone cuts me off in traffic, what do you think I feel like doing? Long before I was a pastor, I was a man. Sometimes the man wants to come out. I want to lay holy hands on them and be the instrument that God is using to bring repentance to that person. But that's my truth. You cut me off. You deserve it. But just because I feel like it doesn't make it right. And here's where I want you to pay careful attention. Because if you follow me logically, here's where it's easy to see how believing in my own unique truth becomes very, very, very dangerous. Because if truth isn't constant, if truth is relative, then truth changes. And you can see how it leads us down this very dark and slippery slope. So let me show you. If you don't believe that truth is constant, here's what's going to happen. Number one, there are no absolute truths that apply to all people. Like, and who's to say what is absolute truth? I mean, you can do what's true to you, and I can do what's true to me. Even if you want to kill me, if that's your truth, well, then it's subjective. So I guess that's your truth. You can do it. It's crazy. The second thing is morality becomes subjective because right and wrong are relative, which leads us to the thought that my perception determines what's true. And if I believe I'm the source of truth, then what do I think? Well, if it's true to me, you can't question my truth. And I see this time and time again in culture, that we're all clinging to our perspectives, claiming it to be truth, and saying, you can't question me on it. Paul warned us about the dangers of these false beliefs. And I want to show you the words that he penned over 2,000 years ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see how true these words are in our culture today. This is what Paul says. He says, preach the word. Let's say it together. Preach the word of God. Preach the word. Don't preach feelings. Don't preach opinions. I'm not going to preach my perspective. We're going to preach the word because the word of God never changes. The word of God is living, it's active, it always accomplishes what God purposed it to do. So we're going to preach the word, scripture says. And then he says, patiently, not arrogantly or with a condemning attitude, but patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For there is a time coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching, but they're going to follow their own desires. And will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear, who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And what will they do? We see this in our culture today. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. They will look for people who tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They'll reject the truth of God and chase after myths. And that's why it's so easy to look for people who tell us what we want to hear, because what we want to hear is so much easier to stomach. But God's truth doesn't change based on our ability to stomach it. It's constant and it's true. What we want to hear is so often different than what we need to hear. Because when someone wrongs us, we want to hear, well, you have the right to be angry. I mean, you're a victim. After what they did to you, you should make them pay for it. But what you need to hear is the teaching of Jesus that says you should forgive, and of Paul who said you should forgive others as you have been forgiven. Man, you want to hear, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. No boundaries, it's my body. But what we need to hear is that if you belong to Jesus Christ, your body belongs to God. You can't just do whatever you want with it. You're stewarding something that belongs to God. And he says your body is to be holy and set apart for the glory of God. I know we don't want to hear this, but we need to hear this. And that's where my spirit has been wrestling so much over the summer, is feeling the need to say what we need to hear. You want to hear, like, hey, we might not be legally married, but we're married in our hearts. We're married in our hearts, therefore we can do whatever we want sexually. We don't need boundaries. But what you need to hear is, no, sex is actually God's gift between a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage. And he says that we're to honor him by keeping our bodies pure until we celebrate the gift of lovemaking in the covenant that he blesses. You want to hear that, hey, I'm just looking a little bit at porn. I'm just looking, that's all. It's stopping there. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not hurting anyone. But what you need to hear is that it's a sin against the holy God and that the devil's lying to you. And if you think it's not a big deal, he's robbing you and isolating you and numbing you, and your addiction may end up costing you more than what you realize. It could end up costing you what you value most. You don't want to hear it, but we need to hear it. You want to hear, it's not my fault. This is just the way I am. I can never, ever change. But what we need to hear is that what you experience, what you feel, doesn't determine who you are. You are not what someone did to you. You are not what someone said about you. You are not even what you feel about you. You are who God says you are. You are a child of God. And if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Resurrection power. And if that power can raise Jesus from the dead, that power can help you overcome the power of sin. You'd need to hear it. And if your spirit is really wrestling right now and you're maybe even getting defensive or mad, kind of thinking, who does Kevin think he is? Trust me, I know I'm not perfect, but we all need to hear this. I need to hear this. What we want to hear is so much different than what we need to hear. And just because it seems right, just because we believe it, doesn't make it true. And the second truth about truth is that truth isn't just something we believe. Truth is someone that we follow. Like, I don't know about you, but I think that's good stuff. Truth isn't just something we believe. Truth is someone that we follow. In fact, scripture says this. Thomas is asking Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus answers in John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, he's not a way. He's the way. He's not a life. He is the life. And he's not just a truth, one of many. Jesus is the truth. And this is where people get bothered. They get upset when Jesus says, no one come to the Father except through me. Because you see, people don't mind the love of Jesus. In fact, they love the love of Jesus. Oh, he loved sinners. Oh, he healed lepers. He was good with kids. He cared for the least of these. They like his love. But what they don't like is his exclusivity, so it seems. And this is where people start pushing back. Like, no, 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 it's all love. It's all love. They say, well, he can't be the truth. Anyone who claims to know the truth, well, they're arrogant or dangerous or both, and no one has the right to tell me what to do. But I would argue that Jesus is actually the most inclusive person ever because he doesn't judge and keep anyone away. He says, everyone is welcome to come to me. Everyone. Doesn't matter your ethnicity, doesn't matter your status, doesn't matter your sexual orientation. But what does matter is he says, you must repent. Everyone's welcome to come, but you have to be willing to repent, to follow him as Lord. That's where people have an issue. But let me just add, there is a God and you're not him. I mean, if we believe there's a God, we've got to acknowledge that we try to be him all the time. We try and control everything, but we're not good at it. Truth isn't something we believe. It's someone we follow. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's the truth of God made flesh. Jesus is the truth in bodily form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus isn't a truth. He is the truth. So, if what I feel, if what I think, if what I want is contrary to God's word, then it's not true. It's a lie. And so all that is a super long introduction to basically a one-sentence message. Here's the application. The whole message hangs on this. If Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, then die to your truth and live according to the truth. I'll say it again so it sinks in. If what Jesus says, that he is truth, if what Jesus says, if what scripture says, if what the word of God says is different from what you feel, is different from what you believe, is different from what you call your truth, well, then you need to let your truth die. Scripture says that we should die to our flesh. And it's not talking about our skin. It means our sarx in the Greek, the sinful nature. We need to crucify it. The Bible says that we need to put it to death. I want it, but I don't do it. I feel it, but that's not who I am. That's my sinful nature lying to me, taking me in a different direction. I may want it, but not everything's good for me. In the garden, the serpent said, did God really say, don't eat that? All the way back to scene one in God's drama in the garden, the serpent already begins casting doubt using those almost true statements. Did God really say that? And if Eve had to live today, well, her response would be like, well, this is my truth and I want the fruit. If your truth is contrary to his truth, then you need to die to your truth and live according to his. Because at some point, you're going to feel like doing something that's not in God's will. Maybe you feel like getting drunk. Maybe you want to get high. You want to cuss someone out. Maybe you feel like watching that show that's not really going to build your faith. You feel like going to that place where you'll probably do the wrong thing, but maybe you won't. Or you feel like talking about someone and maybe bringing it up is more of like a prayer request so that it still looks spiritual and you're not really gossiping, but you're still kind of sharing the tea. Or you're going to feel like acting out sexually. Whatever it is, just because you feel it doesn't make it true. So if you're doing something that's not in God's will, maybe it's lying or selfishness or you're full of pride, you're puffed up, arrogant. Maybe you're jealous or judging somebody, or it could be greed or lusting after someone. Or you might be hurting someone. You're harsh, unkind, rude, uncaring, divisive. Even if that's your truth, remember, if your truth is contrary to God's truth, then scripture tells you to die, to crucify your truth, your flesh, your feelings, your desires, and live according to God's truth. Let me slow down and go back to our initial story with Pontius Pilate. Because there's more power in that story than we can imagine. Pontius Pilate was trying to make a decision. He's essentially trying to like satisfy the crowd and still do what's legal and right. So he wasn't super popular and he knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. And he looks at this guy and he's innocent. I mean, I can't find any reason to charge him. And because he was afraid of the crowd and Jesus says he's the truth, Pilate asked back the question, well, what is truth? And with this, Pilate went out again to the Jews gathered there. And so there's a group of people, and he says, I find no basis of charge against Jesus. I've examined him. I've asked him questions. As far as I can tell, he's innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. But then he explains, but it's your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. You see, he's looking for a loophole in the system so that he can let Jesus free because they want him crucified, but he doesn't find any reason. So he says, hey, we're supposed to let one guy go. And he asks, do you want me to release the guy who calls himself the King of the Jews? And they shouted back, no, not Jesus. Give us Barabbas. So here we have Pilate going, what am I going to do? This guy's innocent, but there's this custom, this kind of ritual that I'm allowed to let one person go. So, hey, should I let Jesus go? I mean, look at him. He hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't hurt anybody. He's actually been healing people. They're like, no, give us Barabbas. And who's Barabbas? Well, Barabbas was a criminal. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was likely a murderer. And Pilate asked the crowd, essentially, should we release Jesus, the truth? Or should we release Barabbas, the liar? And the crowd chose Barabbas. The crowd, the culture, chose the liar, the thief, the murderer, which sounds very similar to metaphors that are used of the devil in John chapter 10. Who is Satan? Well, he's a thief. He's a liar. He's called the father of lies. He's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So think about this. Why did Pilate release Barabbas? Because it's what everyone wanted. It's what the crowd wanted. The crowd wanted the liar. The crowd wanted the lie. And of course, the crowd, well, they must be right. But who is Jesus? He's not just a truth. He is the truth. And let me tell you right now, if you think I'm being mean or condemning, I'm not. It's with every bit of love that I share this message. It's out of love that I want to tell you. And I understand that the truth can be confrontational. The truth steps on our toes. And if you come to church all year long and no one ever steps on your toes, then I don't know if the word of God's really being preached because truth confronts you, truth confronts me. I don't have a get out of jail free card up here just because I'm the pastor. It's calling me out on my own stuff too. Truth can be difficult to hear because the truth often requires us to change. It requires me to change, and it's so much easier to deal with a lie because the lies tell me I'm fine, that I'm okay, that this is my truth. It's just the way I am. And it's so much more convenient, and it's so much more comfortable. And that's why your truth is so appealing, because your truth allows you to do whatever you want. And that was my problem back in my 20s when I was really wrestling with Jesus, because I knew he was the truth, but my truth was I didn't want to give up some things. I wanted to kind of have my foot in both, like, okay, I'll party with my friends here, but I'll still kind of come to church when I can here. To follow him, I realized I probably had to give up some things. So I made up my own truth. And surely God understands my need. He gets this. But if my needs, my desires are contrary to God's word, then I realized I had to die to my desires and live according to his truth. Because I was making up my own theology, and it was keeping me from Jesus. I had two friends. We were kind of accountability partners, and we'd go out and meet, and it wasn't accountability at all. It was mainly just to share how many times we messed up throughout the week and the stupid decisions we'd done. We were just making it up. And maybe that's where some of you are right now. You're kind of thinking there's these gray areas that, well, God doesn't really address this in scripture. God doesn't really talk about this. And he does. Guys, the truth doesn't change. The reason why the crowd chose Barabbas is because Barabbas made them feel better about themselves. The truth isn't just something we believe. The truth is a person. Jesus is the truth, the loving truth, the life-changing truth, a truth that doesn't condemn, but a truth that sets people free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Guys, I've seen people follow their own truth and live their own truth, and they have become some of the most joyless people that I can recognize, that I know. Jesus sets us free. He didn't say your perspective or your opinion or your experience sets you free. Your perspective is valid. Your experience is real. Your story matters, but it doesn't mean it's the truth. The truth is a person. The truth is Jesus. And when you know him, when you know the truth is what sets you free. You want joy. You want the fruit of the Spirit. You want peace, patience, gentleness. Lean into Jesus. Are you free? Are you whole? Are you healed? The truth sets you free. The application is very simple. If Jesus' truth is different than what you feel, what you want, what you believe, die to your truth and live according to the truth. Because Jesus is the truth, and the truth will often go against what you feel. But Jesus will set you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we confess our need of you. We acknowledge that we're sinful, we're broken, we're flawed, and that our hearts deceive us. So help us to know you. We're here to fix our eyes on you. Help us to seek you. Help us to know your truth. And as we're praying right now, I just want to talk to those of you that are believers, that are followers of Jesus. If you know that you're doing something, kind of living your truth, kind of following what you feel, what you want, and it's contrary to God's truth, I just want you to take a moment to confess it. I just want you to tell God, God, I need to die to this, and I want to live according to your truth. So I'm going to ask you to just pray a simple prayer with me that I'll lead you in. And if you're sincerely wanting to pray this prayer, and I hope you are, I just pray that you'll pray it within your heart. Just say, Heavenly Father, show me truth. I'm open. If I'm disobeying, if I'm dishonoring you, if I'm going my own way, show me truth. Help me course correct. Help me to live your truth. And if what I call my truth is different from the truth, I confess it to you now, Lord. Lead me to the truth. Lead me in the way everlasting. I want to honor you in all that I do. Help me to know the truth. Help me to live the truth that will set me free. Now, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you work in the hearts of those who prayed that prayer? God, every time this week, in the weeks to come, when we find ourselves rationalizing, justifying, help us to remember that the truth is a person, his name is Jesus, and you are who sets us free. As we keep praying today, I'm guessing that this can be a bit more of a difficult message for some. So I just want to speak as lovingly as I can and say, sometimes you just have to be direct and tell the truth out of love. And my fear is that some of us call ourselves Christians because we kind of go to church every now and then. We might follow some people online or whatever it is. But if we look at our lives, we know that we're not really submitted to the truth of Jesus. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. But when we're followers of Jesus, we actually want to live according to his ways. We want to die to our own selfishness and sinful desires. So I just want you to think about it right now and ask yourself, am I his disciple? If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is my life following his way? Am I living according to his truth? Is his life directing and empowering my life? And if you're honest with yourself and can admit it, that no, it really isn't. I've been living for myself and not him. Well, I have good news. What's amazing about God is that when we repent of our sins, Scripture says he forgives us. He came full of grace and truth. Grace meaning that we can still come to him no matter what. But the truth is that we need to come to him and submit to him. So if you find yourself just unsure where you're at today, I just invite you to simply call out to him and ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. He hears your prayers. He forgives your sins. He makes you brand new. The old is gone and the new is here today. So if that's you, if you're just wanting to make Jesus number one, would you just simply raise your hand so I can pray with you? No one looking around, but you're just saying, God, I want to make you first. My life is no longer mine. I give it all to you. I'm stepping away from the old and I'm surrendering it to you. Transform me. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this room, what you're doing in our midst. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to live according to your truth. Help us to do your will, direct our steps. Help us to know you, serve you, and honor you, and live for you. Our lives are not our own. We surrender them to you for your glory. I thank you for new life. You have all of mine. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.